Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a great guest on. Her name is Robin Marie. She is deemed to be the Boston Ghost Magnet, and she has been clairvoyant since age 4. So we're going to bring her on right away so we don't lose much more time. So, Robin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for having me on again.
You're very welcome. Now, Robin, let's talk a little bit about who you are. And at age 4, you talked about how you started having experiences. So talk about that, because there's a lot of children out there today that are having these kind of experiences, but when they mention it to a parent or somebody, they're basically told to be quiet, go away, you're just imagining it, whatever. So let's talk about you and your experience.
Very much so. I mean, an important piece of that is that people begin to dismiss it. Parents don't know what to make of it. They're frightened by it. The children could possibly be frightened by it because the parents are afraid. And so I've been touring around doing conventions and teaching a lot of classes, bringing the parents in with the children who may be gifted. I believe that everybody has this gift to some certain degree. But, you know, some people may play a guitar and other people are going to be a rock star. So we have to determine how far you're going to be able to take your ability. Some people are very gifted right off. And I have to say that I was very unusual in that I used all of my senses. I'm clairvoyant, clairgusting, clairaudient, which is smell, taste, touch, feel. I sense them. It's very, very strong. The thing is, I had a family that was very comfortable with the spiritual side of things. Coming from old world Italian background, Strega was accepted and all of this. And that goes into the Italian culture. And so we look at things that are, different types of things that may be scary. And we look at them in a different light. And we keep a very strong Christian foundation within us, and this isn't really about Christianity as far as being an organized religion, but rather our inner sense of faith. And I think that's what I try to reach out to when I speak to people at conventions and classes and such. I try to reach them with their inner sense of faith and to take away what Hollywood has created for us, to take the fear out of it, especially for the children's sake.
Well, that's real important because, again, I mean, I got into a freak accident when I was 6, and from the time I was 6 on all the way till now, I get to see different visions. But my angels actually helped me because they wouldn't let me just go out and tell everybody, hey, you're about to die. You know, they just helped me so that I would not get in trouble, and so I was constantly protected, which is real important. And I think a lot of children today, especially the ones that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, have a lot of very, very good intuitive ability, but yet
very much so.
And
I did a convention out in Ohio and recently in Gettysburg back in March, and I've had that question posed to me across, you know, a large audience. And so we start to look at people with disabilities, and certainly with learning disabilities, autism, all of that, that these people are so simple-minded. They're not cluttered. They don't have distractions like we do. They don't have jobs they're going to every day, or, you know, they're just so simple in their thoughts. And so they're very open to everything that's around them, and they pick up on these things far easier than what the average person would. So people with disabilities are probably far more gifted in many ways and sense these things easier, if you know what I mean. So, in fact, I'm looking into writing a book about this.
That's good, you know, because a lot of children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, autism, they're full of all these drugs, which kind of numbs their brain and shuts down any ability that they may have, you know, which I am totally, totally, and I will say one more time, totally against, because these children are here to teach us some things, and we need to listen to them and learn from them. See, my take on autism is that these children are multitasking so much with their brain at a very, very early age that they don't really know how to deal with it. And so they shut themselves down, keep themselves quiet, and don't respond to a lot of things because there's just too much information coming in. You know, and yet.
And that's it. And I hate to make this as a comparison. I don't want to offend anybody, so I hope they understand what I'm going to say. I use animals quite often when I'm out doing investigations, paranormal investigations, because animals sense everything from natural disasters to spirit activity because they are very simple. They don't have all of the complex thoughts and complications as we do. And if we think of that, that we get the same type of finding when we have somebody with disabilities, say learning disabilities, because they may not, well, in particular, children with autism, let's say, that are nonverbal perhaps. They're much more simplistic, and so they're able to be reached. They hear, smell, taste, touch, all of that much easier, you know, than a normal child, or say a non-disabled child.
Right. See, and that's what I told you about this. I came down to New Mexico to open a school for children who have been labeled with ADD, ADHD,
yes.
problem children, children that don't fit the bell curve, and really the intuitive children. And so I'm still in the process of trying to collect the monies, you know, raise the monies to get that school built. But it's very, very important, and it will get built. You know, so let's talk a little bit about why you got the title called the Boston Ghost Magnet.
Oh, my goodness. That's because my family says it goes way back right to the time that I was born, that I had these abilities. The first time that I was conscious of it, that I saw a full-bodied apparition and made connection with her was at 4 years old. So that's my earliest recollection. I'm just finishing up my book, Love to Be With You, and several other books. So, of course, this one, it seems to never get finished, but it's coming right along. It should be out this winter, hopefully. And in that, I'm describing the very first word that I said, and that was Abba. And all of my life, my family has asked me what Abba meant, because I said it all of the time as a toddler. And I looked it up, and it happens to be a Native American word, and even it goes back to biblical days, that we see the word A-B-B-A, Abba, meaning God. Mm-hmm. It is a name for God. And so I found that very interesting. And I write a lot in the book about that, that I really feel that I had a calling to be here at this particular time, in this particular era. And we see that as we look into what's labeled as crystalline children and indigo children.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of those characteristics. I'm a little bit older than what they typically are because they give you an age range. But I'm very close to it. And they do say that some crystalline children were born further back. But we're supposed to come across the era of 2012. And that's to spiritually help guide people through the terrible times that we're going to be handling.
You know, that's real important because, again, I think that children really come here with a great deal of abilities. And I think because of the way they're raised, or religion, or society, or a lot of things, it tends to be taken away. You know, so luckily you actually came into a family that didn't, and all that did was encourage you a lot more so that you could get yourself out there and actually help people. And I think the idea for the intuition part of people is to actually help other people and do it through love, gentleness, kindness, more than, you know, the power, greed, control thing that we're all kind of under the spell of right now. So I think that the intuitive part of a person is very, very important to bring out. It doesn't matter if they're younger or if they're middle-aged or if they're older. Whenever it comes out, it needs to be, you know, come out and talked about. So, again,
when
they don't feel.
Yes, and when you see how far I am developed, this isn't to pat myself on the back when I say this. I'm trying to tell parents out there, if you take the fear out of it, and you learn more about it, you'll be able to help your child develop and to handle things far more better. I never had a fear. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the monster that lived under the bed. I mean, I was a perfectly normal child. These are typical things. But I also saw apparitions. It was very much like The Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
And how you see that child sitting in the kitchen and seeing people walking around that, you know, are missing body parts and all of that. This is how I was and still am. They come to me for healing. It's not that these traumatized spirits come to you to frighten you. And this is where my teaching is a little bit different than the norm. I tell you to look at them coming to you. And people will say to me, well, why did that spirit choose me? Why are they in my house? And I say, well, look who you are. You may be a loving person, a caring person. Maybe they're coming to your house, Nancy. You're associated with this. You're very open to it. Wouldn't that be the exact person that you would go to for help?
Usually, yeah.
So, of course, they're going to go to the homes that are more nurturing and loving and peaceful. So, no, they're not there to frighten you. I know that does happen from time to time, but there are nasty people in the world with many different personalities, and they take that to the other side with them, too, for a while. And so we just have to deal with the spirit world as we would walking in a mall with people that bang into us or push a cart into us. It's the same thing, and we have to be very direct with them and guide them and say, this isn't acceptable, or I don't want you. You're not welcome in my home if you're going to throw the plates or tip the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how my family was, so I became very comfortable with it all. Another thing that I do that you were touching on is about religion. And I have 12 years of parochial school, 3 years at a convent high school. I could have become a nun, and I would have been a teaching nun. And so it's very important to people out there, whatever your religion is, whatever your faith is, to understand that everybody recognizes that there is a spirit world. There is a realm on the other side, whether you call it heaven or nirvana or whatever it is. But we all recognize that spirits are there. And so I took my religion, and I have it like a side of fries. That's my spiritual side. You don't have to dismiss your faith that you're raised in. Yeah, I can still be Roman Catholic and still look at things in a spiritual nature and add to that. And that's what I try to do.
And I think that's important because there's in my opinion, and I'm probably going to upset a lot of people, but I don't care when it comes to this part. In my opinion, okay, a lot of organized religion takes away a lot of your own abilities. They try to control you, and they will do it through fear or tactics.
Absolutely.
Or whatever they can. And I have a really hard time with that because there are many, many people who constantly follow it and are constantly under the state of abuse because they follow it, and they tend to live a very hurtful life for themselves because they have been basically told that they're not worth whatever. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I totally believe that people really have to find their own higher source, whether it be, you call it God,
and
Nirvana, whatever.
That's it. Know who the divine being is, or the divine energy. I'll even say it in a scientific nature. Find out who that is in your life, outside of a book, outside of politically what an organized church or organization tells you to be. Know who your divine being is, your source of life. And that's your inner faith.
It is. The best thing is to take a look inside their own heart and kind of go with their own heart and let the love from their own heart come out. And somehow it appears, Robin Marie, that people have forgotten how to do that. And I really think that, you know, all of this, the things that are going on with all these discoveries, you know, all of the talks about UFOs, Planet X coming in and all that is to help people really wake up. And now really is the time for people to wake up and allow that heart smart part, as I call it, to come through. Now, you also do something that I have taken 60 hours worth of training for, and that's called remote viewing. So, Robin, why don't you explain about remote viewing, how it works, and how you used it to help the police?
It's a very strange phenomenon. What it is as if you were sitting at the movies and watching an entire movie go by. What it is that I connect with spirit, and I allow the spirit to use my eyes, my senses, smell, taste, touch, all of those, and my hearing. And I'm able to go through the same walks, the same steps, and the same memories that they have of various times. And I allow them to take me to a particular time or place that is important to them. I act as if I am a telephone, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in allowing them to speak through me, they're not possessing me. They're not going into my body. But telepathically, they're working my head. They're working my thoughts. And I can literally see what they see. And it is played back just like a movie. So when I work with the police, it's wonderful. I'm so blessed that I'm able to help families find loved ones, to put closure on particular situations, and even bring criminals to justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked on some high-profile cases, especially this past year, Lauren Shira and the little girl that was up in New Hampshire as well. And it is very traumatizing to me, but again, I feel this is my calling. This is my purpose. And for me to feel maybe ill from what's going on, from what I experience, or to feel depression or crying or whatever the spirit is making me feel, it's well worth it. I will live through it. I'll be fine the next day. And so I'm willing to do that for people and help them. It's what I want to do, and it's what I love. I feel purpose in life to be able to use this gift for them.
Well, I think it's real important, Robin, because a lot of people will look at psychics and they go, they're just a quack. And, you know, I've helped the police when I was living in Illinois. But I have to tell you about one thing that happened to me, and it wasn't helping the police in Illinois. This guy called me, and I was driving my car in rush hour traffic. And he said, Nancy, somebody gave me your name. And I said, really, what for? He goes, well, they think you can help me with my dad. And I go, really, what's with your dad? And he said, well, my dad was murdered. And while I'm driving the car in rush hour traffic going about 60 miles an hour, I see a total visual of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm doing is seeing this go in front of me. Not what's happening with the car, but what's going in front of me. And before he could say anything else, I said, what happened in North Las Vegas? And he goes, well, that's where they found my dad's truck. And I had seen the truck in this vision. And I said, let's do this. Since I'm driving, you probably ought to come by and see me tomorrow because I am driving a car and all I am seeing right now is North Las Vegas with this truck. So I don't know if I can help you. I don't promise I can help you, but I can just tell you whatever I get. So that just happened automatically. It's not like I said, okay, I'm going to remote view this while I'm driving. You
right.
know, that just happens. And I'm sure that happens with you. And,
and I'm sure it
happens with many people, but I don't think they know what it is or where it's coming from, and they totally freak out until they hear on the news or they see something about it, and it's like, oh, my God, I knew that. And then they freak. So maybe, Robin, help people with that right now.
Yes,
so they don't...
Let me tell you what happens physically. I cannot see. I almost cannot hear. If I really get into a very strong meditative state and go into it, it's like I am absent from my body. I can only see what the spirit sees. If people remember back many, many, many years ago, there was a movie called The Eyes of Laura Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I experience. it's actually blinding. I have had it happen to me instantly where, you know, family members passed or whatever and they're trying to reach me. And I've been in the middle of driving and I've actually had to pull off the road because it was coming in so strong, I couldn't even see where I'm going. Certainly when I work on cases, and this is either for paranormal investigation groups will do it with me or the police or families will call me and take me out blindly to a location. I tell them, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know the missing person's name. I don't want any details, nothing, because I want you to know that I am genuine. I don't ever want to be labeled as a fake or have any question around me that you're kind of hesitant as to the validity of who I am. So I tell you, don't tell me anything. I go blindly. They drive me in a car or in the police cruiser, and they literally drop me off. They don't even tell me the area or location where something is or is in question, let's say. And I'll walk. I've gone all the way through the woods and everything, and I'll go right to it like a bloodhound because the spirit is showing me. Even perpetrators that have passed away will come into my head and show me where they chased someone so I can see what they did to the victim. And it's a horrible, horrible thing, I know. But imagine people that are trying to solve that crime, how important that is to them.
Caller on line one. Caller.
Okay, great. It is very important, you know, for people. Now, there is a caller on line one. We're just going to see what they want. We're not going to do any readings, but let's see, you know, what they have to say. So, caller, are you there?
Hi.
Can we have your first name, please?
Alicia.
Alicia. Now, just so you know, we're not going to do any psychic readings right now, okay? Because it will take up a lot of time. But if you have a question that's not going to involve Robin or myself to do any kind of a reading, like if you have a question about what we're talking about, that would be more than welcome.
Okay, well, I'll call another time. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
People are afraid
when I do that, but it's too hard to just do it real quick. So,
thank you.
I know it
can be distracting when we're in such a heavy conversation.
You know, so for the rest of the listeners, I promise you at some point in time, not during this interview, but at some point in time, we will do a show that is just strictly readings. But today, it's actually a learning for all of you that are listening. And I think it's real important that you do listen, because I'm sure that if you're interested in this program, it's because you've experienced some of the things that we were probably talking about or will still be talking about. So when you do the remote viewing, I used to do it with a group of people. And We could picture just about anything. And because there was like five or six of us, we would see it from all different angles. And it was always so interesting because we didn't know what we were remote viewing to begin with, but we could come up with all the details, you know. And I'm one that gets to like you, Robin, I get to feel things, I get to smell things, I get to see things, I get to hear. I mean, I get it all. And what they wanted us to do is draw pictures. Well, I'm not good at drawing pictures, so I did words. And the words just came flooding and flooding and flooding. They go, man, Nancy, you're writing up, you know. And so it does work. But can you tell us, without necessarily getting anybody in trouble or using anybody's name that doesn't want to have their name announced, what one case that you went on with remote viewing or even as a ghost magnet was the one that really stands out the most still within your mind?
Well, I think a particular case that was in Connecticut has to be the worst. This perpetrator was taken into custody. He spent over 30 years in prison and had just passed away. Unfortunately, he died without telling people where he hid the bodies. He confessed to actually killing about 120 children, if I remember right. I know it was at least over 100.
It was a lot, a lot.
Yes, it was terrible. They felt as though, and they told me this afterwards, of course, they felt as though that he had acted with someone else, that there was another person involved. And he mentioned it from time to time, but he didn't give them all of the details. he died without giving them a lot of answers, even though on two of the cases they were able to convict him, fortunately. People have to understand what the poor police and the families and the detectives and everybody that works on these cases, what they go through. I mean, I know that a lot of these cases don't get solved, but that doesn't mean that the police are not doing their job. It's nearly impossible. You're trying to find a needle in a haystack. And so they spend years and years trying to find answers on cold cases. And so this one eventually got put on the shelf. They had a lot of physical evidence that had been stored. And let me just tell you what they did was they sent me a photo, and it was the one of the two detectives that brought this case to justice. He lost his marriage. He lost relationship with his children. He became drinking. He lost everything. He told me he couldn't hold down a job. His life was basically ruined because of this. He couldn't get it out of his head that this man had killed over 100 people, children. Mm-hmm. And it was just devastating to him. And they bring all of this home. You know, it's just a lot to deal with. So I have a lot of compassion for them. He asked me for his sake to please tell him if I could say anything about this case, because his life was just, it was over. Mm-hmm. And this was, we're talking 30 years ago, 35 years back. He gave me a picture of one of the little girls. He told me absolutely nothing, as I insisted. He sent it to me over the internet, by the way, through an email. Mm-hmm. And I sat with her picture, and I just meditated. And I asked her to just please show me what she had experienced. And so I was able to take him, well, when I repeated this back to him, I was able to take him to the location where she was chased.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't good enough, but it was good enough to bring validity as far as, you know, my tapping into facts and all of that. And I told him things that she said and did and, you know, where she fell, where she finally was killed. And then he gave me a picture of the perpetrator. And in meditating with that, that was the worst. He showed me how he chased the children, many of the children. And I was able to tell him about many of the cases. And, of course, that brought a lot of validation as far as, you know, what I was seeing. It was factual. Even, you know, this little girl was chased on a bicycle, and I saw the color of the bicycle, which was lime green back in the 70s. I mean, it was just very unusual. It was like Mountain Dew color.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it. I told him she had a little sweater. These are all things that they had bagged and put on shelves, and no one since the 70s had access to this. So there's no way I could have known anything other than what the spirit was telling me. And so going through the perpetrator, he showed me where he took the bodies. And oddly enough, this was a case in Connecticut. Well, I grew up north of Boston on the North Shore. I recognized the area. And I told them the town that it was in. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, they argued with me. They said, ridiculous. This all happened in Connecticut. And I said, that's why you can't find them, because they're not in Connecticut. They're all the way north in Massachusetts, almost up to the New Hampshire line. So this man was smart enough not to hide them near his house or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He took them far. And there was a young man who worked with him that helped him dig the graves and bury these bodies. So there you go. There were two. And that's what they always suspected. but they couldn't pin it on the other guy that they had taken into custody.
Yeah, sometimes it's really, really hard, just like the JonBenet Ramsey case that's still kind of up and pending,
yes.
But we all have our own ideas about what the truth is. You know, so it was really
funny.
Well,
they found over 52 of the bodies.
Good, good. Which is real important. It had to help that man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, and plus it had to help a lot of the parents. That was the reason why I took remote viewing classes, because I really wanted to help the parents get closure on all these children that were missing it and get, you know, get healed through the knowledge
of
that.
That's truly what I feel is your calling to, Nancy. I have great respect for you. I always have since the first time we spoke, in that you're helping children in so many ways. You know,
and
so this is all worth it. Oh, you're so gifted, and I'm so glad that you're using it in such a positive way.
Yes, I don't know any other way to use it. Which is good. Now, let's talk a little bit about you. Are you still starring in Moving In? Is that still going on right now? The movie?
That's been put on the shelf as well. They did not pick it up this season, so there's two more episodes of us, but it did play last year, through the whole year, on MTV.
Okay, cool.
And it was kind of comical. You know, that's reality TV. But from that, I did get a tour in Wales, and I went all through the UK on stage doing my psychometry that I do and photo scrying, which it's similar to scrying through a crystal ball,
mm-hmm.
but I do it in photography.
Cool. So how does that work? How does that work, Robin? Do you just look at the picture?
That one's unexplainable. I mean, I work with taps all the time. You know, a lot of high profile people that you know work in our field as scientific researchers, and we cannot explain it. I haven't met anybody that's able to do this. When I take a photograph, obviously it's still. I can see you sitting on the couch, for example, and I will see physically animated and live spirits walking around you, inside your home, at your table. If investigators send me pictures of cemeteries or fields or whatever, I see the spirits walking all around them while they were still in the picture and taking photos or whatever. And it's fascinating to me. I love it. I'm almost an addict. I could sit up night after night. You know, people keep sending me photos, and I just have to look at more because I never know what I'm going to find.
Well,
and it's almost like gambling. Because, you know, it's like a spin of the roulette wheel. You know, am I going to win? Am I going to hit one? And I get a photo, and I see a lot of spirits, and they talk to me. And that's where the remote viewing comes in, too, because mm-hmm. they'll start showing me that they remember your fifth birthday party, or they'll show me a wedding that they were at. And, in fact, when I went to Wales, I was on stage live, and people were passing in photos to me. And, of course, I put them up on a great big screen so the whole audience can see what I'm doing. And they're looking and they're saying, there's nothing in this photo. There's absolutely nothing. You know, what is she looking at? But there isn't anything physically there. I am seeing spirit clairvoyantly, just as I would in person clairvoyantly. So I was able to tell them, you know, the spirit said, I'm really sorry I didn't make it to your wedding. I mean, it's almost comical at times. They said, I really like the blue roses that you had on your cake, although a bride is supposed to have all white. And this is what the spirit was telling her. And I noticed, I knew who that picture went to because the whole row in the audience started cracking up laughing, and they knew that it was their spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at their wedding. And she was talking about the first dance and the music that played and everything. And it to me, that's it's just so emotional for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much we miss people that, you know, don't make it to important times, significant times in our life because they're gone. Just know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
They're still there, and they still love you, and they're still guiding you.
And they're going to continue as long as people allow them and stay open. Now,
absolutely.
You also released a movie in 2010.
Yes.
Called Ghost of Fire. Let's talk a little bit about that, okay? But before we do that, give out your website and how people can get a hold of you, please.
Yes, that's at robinmarie.com. And Robin is R-O-B-Y-N-E. Marie is M-A-R-I-E. And it's .com.
Okay, so now let's talk about Ghost of Fire, because it was pretty good.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yes. Well, it was a lot of fun. I believe in shooting documentaries and raw footage. I didn't want to doctor it up at all. What's exciting about this, Nancy, is that happened a year ago that I released it, and I've toured all over everywhere talking about that movie because really bizarre things happened from it. And that movie, we didn't capture so much paranormal activity, let's say. But there were very, very unusual, freaky things that came from that. A lot of families reconnected. The lady that I interview in this from Centralia, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and this is the coal mining town that's burning underground. People can go and see it. You know, this is modern-day ghost town. And she found both sides of her family since this movie, and we tapped into the Molly Maguires and all this rich history. And we are actually going back in January to start filming part two.
That sounds cool.
I had somebody see the movie, and they are direct descendants of the Molly Maguires.
Well, that's neat. That's very interesting. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about the movie and why you even went there to begin with?
Well, you know, I wanted to be remembered as something a little bit different because there's billions of psychics out there. And I said, you know, I need something that's really hot, something that's going to sell, something that's going to make my mark and be my legacy that I can leave my family. What am I going to do to make myself different, set aside from the rest? And I put my team out there, which is called Lights Out, a paranormal investigation team, and they happened to stumble upon this YouTube clip about Centralia down in Pennsylvania. I had never heard of it. But it's perpetually burning, and it is a coal mine that caught fire underneath the ground. And it was smoking, and you could see the ambers and everything in the split ground. And I said, wow, this is really creepy, spooky. I said, this would be great to make a little documentary. I had no idea what was going to come of this, you know, and I was trying to tap into a place that other paranormal groups really hadn't specialized in. I didn't want to do a Mansfield Reformatory or a Waverly, you know, Rolling Hills,
mm-hmm.
all the common places that people go to, which is wonderful, but I wanted my own hot location. And when we say hot, this place is on fire.
It's hot.
Yeah, we went out there, and there's nothing out there. Nothing except four cemeteries and a church. And there were 11 houses left. And when
mm-hmm.
we went back again, there were 9 and then 5. And now they're all gone. And the city has taken eminent domain. And so it is a legal listed ghost town in America. So
that's kind of neat. So when you film the next one starting in January, how long do you think it's going to take you to complete it?
This one's going to be quick because now I have a lot of the history on it, so we're able to piece it together a little bit more. you know, quicker than what I did the first time around. I insist on everything being, I'm very particular. I want accuracy for people. I want, you know, historic facts to be in there. So it's the teaching element is very important. And I also wanted everybody to research on what I found spiritually out there. And so it took us 2 years to put that together. This one, we're anticipating just a few months.
Mm-hmm. When you get done with that one, Robin Marie, you may want to come down here to New Mexico where I am. There's a hotel in Mountain Air, and it has a haunted hotel called Schaefer Hotel. And it's got a lot, and I mean a lot of energy in it. I've been in it like 3 or 4 times, and I get the biggest headache when I'm there. But, you know, they have a story there that is just unbelievable. And the lady that owns it, she's very, very nice, and will take you on tours, and she'll tell you about some things that happened. What they have at this hotel is a guest diary book where you can write in your experience that you have, what you've been at the hotel. And it's pretty neat. So look up Schaefer Hotel, Mountaineer, New Mexico. You may want to come out and go through that. They got a lot of stuff there. And it's like an hour from where I live. So you can come and stay with me, and we'll go out there. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really cool. You know, and it's documented. In fact, they used it a couple times for Ghost Whispers to go there and take, you know, to do some of their filming. But it's really
a wonderful show.
Yeah, and it's really neat. This hotel is really neat. It's not old, but it's got a lot of good, good haunted energy in it. I'll put it that way. So.
Oh, it sounds so exciting.
So you need to kind of check that out. Now, you talked about your book coming out, Love, and it's a number 2, Bewitch, and then the letter U, Love to Bewitch You. So let's tell the listeners a little bit about that. We have about probably 5-6 minutes left.
Sure. That's pretty much a biography of the first half of my life. So I certainly hope I have enough time to write the second, but that will be coming out soon. I also have the Harvey Boat, which will be released very soon. I was trying to get it ready for the anniversary of 9/11, but this is a book written through automatic writing, and it is the story of 9/11 being told to the children, and a spirit who was killed in 9/11, who was a school teacher, came to me and told me to write this for the children.
Sounds good, too.
So that's the Harvey Boat. The other one I'm writing, and it's almost finished, is No One at the Bridge, which is about the Gudgeonville Bridge up in Erie, Pennsylvania. And we're also making the documentary for that as well.
That's pretty good. It's real important that people understand that, I shouldn't put it that way, but I'm going to put it that way, that they should understand that there are spirits that are walking amongst us, and no matter what people seem to think, they're there. And like you said earlier, Robin, the best thing is to welcome them, let them know that you're there to help them and to kind of guide them on. But there are spirits everywhere, and children can see them. You know, they have those little imaginary friends, and they can see them or feel them or hear them. And they have a good time with them, but when it comes to adults, adults don't want to hear anything. Like every house I've been in, Robin, there's ghosts because they all follow me. And
everywhere.
They'll call out my name. Yep, they'll call out my name. They'll say, hey, Nancy. And it's like, okay, how are you guys today? What you want?
Yeah.
And then it'll be kind of like some good energy, and they'll go away for a while. You know, so they're everywhere. And I think people have a very hard time accepting that. The other thing, Robin, maybe we have like about 4 minutes left. So in that 4 minutes, I'd like you to help people who are listening that have had a loved one that's passed on, but they either have guilt feelings from it or unsettled feelings about it. Can you give them any insight on how to help them overcome that?
You mean feel guilty as far as maybe something
incomplete? Yeah, like maybe they didn't take care of them, or if I had been there, wouldn't have happened.
Yes. Please, I have people come to me for readings every day about this. and they'll say, oh, you know, I was, maybe I should have been there more. Maybe I should have said I love you. I didn't get to say goodbye. This is, I'm going to cry while I say this because we've all lost loved ones. They know and they love you and they're on the other side and they know that you loved them and they forgive you and I forgive you because we all do the very best that we can at the moment and we all fall short of God's expectations of us. All of us do. But your loved ones, your mothers, your fathers, and all of those that have passed away, they know on the other side now that you love them. And they forgive you, and they love you very much, and will always be with you.
Is there a way, Robin, for people to have their dreams so they get some answers from their dreams?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And that does take some training. But everybody can start by keeping a journal, as they say. It's very important. Right before you go to sleep, and I mean while you're most tired, right before you go into the depth of sleep, you have to tell yourself, I want to be with my loved one. I'd like to reconnect with my father or my child or whoever it is who passed away. And you will be able to call upon them. Now, you can do that through astral projection, that you're actually leaving your body through sleep. This is very detailed. We could do a whole show on this. But these are the first steps you need to take. Tell yourself, I want to be with this person. And so you will go to them, or they will come to you in a sleep state.
So a lot of times people may wake up and crying or have tears and stuff and not quite remember why. Chances are they've had a visit or they've been with them, you know, with their souls. And so I think people need to understand that, again, just because someone has died and crossed over does not mean that they're really gone. Physically, they are, but not for their soul and not for energy purposes. They're very much
energy.
Their soul.
Energy never dies.
You know, so I'm really, you know, grateful, Robin. Our time is almost up, but can you give out your website again and any upcoming events that you might be talking at?
Oh, yes. Please look at my calendar. It's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N-E, Marie.com. And if you look up under calendar, it will tell you all of the states that I'm going to be at. I'm already booked all the way through out to next November, pretty much. I'll be down in Indiana soon. Let me see. Then I'm going to West Virginia, Ohio. I'm all over the place. I can't begin to say one location to the next. But I'll be in a place near you, and readings will be available.
Cool. So, Robin, one more time, give out your website, and then we're going to have to say goodnight.
Thank you so much. It's robinmarie.com, R-O-B-Y-N-E.
And so I'd like to thank you for taking the time, Robin. As always, it's very enlightening to listen to you. And at some point in time, like I said, you need to come down here to New Mexico, and we'll go visit that hotel.
I'd love to. Right. And I can't wait to meet you in person, Nancy.
That would be great. Anyway, you take care, and thanks for being on the show, Robin.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you, and have a great week. Bye now.